The title of the sermon is The Art of Hearing, or The Need for Hearing. Well, there is a need for hearing. Or you could even say, why is it so very important that we are listening and hearing to what God tells us? But that's a little long of a title. The best teacher, brethren, whom we could possibly have is God. And so I would like to encourage all of us to concentrate, really concentrate, on listening to what God is going to tell us in His Word. Because there is so much in the Bible which we will hear from during the coming festival, the Feast of Tabernacles. So let's not assume that we have heard it all before, that there is no need to listen any longer to what is being said. You know, brethren, it's not easy to just sit back and to listen. It's not easy to listen to those who teach us God's Word. It's much easier to tell others what we know. But let's notice the admonition of James, the half-brother of Jesus Christ, in the book of James, in the very first chapter. Let's turn to the book of James, chapter 1, and let's look at verse 19. James 1 and verse 19. Here James tells us, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Now, James would not have encouraged the brethren to be swift to hear if they were practicing the art of hearing anyway. Obviously, they were not doing that. Obviously, they were not willing to hear swiftly. Rather, they had adopted an attitude where they wanted to be teachers. But notice something in the book of James, chapter 3 and verse 1. Because here is a warning. James 3 and verse 1. He says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." You see, teachers will be held accountable for what they teach. And so here is a warning attached to it. Unless God has given us the job of teaching, let's not grasp what God hasn't given us. See, James knew what he was talking about. It is not normal for people just to listen. This is true for unconverted people, but it's also true for those who have been converted a long time and who may not see the need anymore to continue to listen to God's words. You see, Christ is telling us that the Laodiceans think they have everything and that they have need of nothing. They don't think that they need to listen anymore to God's words. They don't see the need to grow anymore in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, which is the understanding which Jesus Christ has and which he wants to pass on to all of us. You see, when Jesus was here on earth, and when he taught his disciples, he emphasized time and time again the need to listen. To listen carefully. To think about what they were taught. To understand what they were taught. To have the right attitude about what they were being taught. I'd like you to notice some of the stern warnings and also the very encouraging admonitions which Christ used to explain the need to listen. Now, he's stating those same things to us today. He said them about 2,000 years ago, but they are still in our Bible. And so they are for our admonition as well. So let's turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 15. And notice Christ's words to all of us. Matthew 15, and let's look at verse 10. When he had called the multitudes to himself, Matthew 15 and verse 10, he said to them, "Hear and understand." hear and understand. You see, not everyone can understand the meaning of God's words, even though he may hear them. Christ encouraged those he was talking to understand, to make an extra effort to understand, because these people could understand what the majority of mankind could not. The majority or the multitude of the disciples I'm talking about, Christ was talking to. And the same is true today. We can understand what is hidden to most people today. But you see, understanding does not come automatically. We must accept the understanding of God's words. God wants to give to us understanding, but we must be willing to receive it. So notice what Christ tells us in the book of Mark, chapter 4. And let's look at verses 10 to 12. Mark 4, verses 10 to 12. But when he was alone, those around him, with the 12, in other words, we are talking about the disciples here, asked him about the parable. And he said to them in verse 11, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parable, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them." You see, we, if we are Christ's disciples, can understand. Others, those who are outside, cannot. But we who can understand still have a part to play, so that we indeed do understand. Now notice Mark chapter 4 and verse 23. Here again, Jesus Christ is making this very clear. Mark 4 and verse 23, "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And then he said to them, "Take heed. Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." Now we must be willing to let our ears hear, and we must be willing to use the knowledge which God is revealing to us. And if we do that, God is able to reveal even more knowledge to us. If on the other hand we think that we are increased with good and have need of nothing, spiritually speaking, God will take away from those people the understanding which they once had. When we refuse to grow, brethren, we will wither away. It seems that even Christ was sometimes surprised about his very own disciples, that they could not understand better what he was trying to teach them. You will find when you read the scriptures that Christ asked them time and time again, "How come you don't get it? I taught you. You were supposed to understand. I've opened your eyes. I've opened your ears. You should be able to understand. How come you are not?" Notice Mark chapter 8, beginning in verse 14. "The disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they didn't have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Verse 15, then he charged them, saying, 'Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod.' And they reasoned among themselves, saying, 'It is because we have no bread.' And Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, 'Why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, you do not see. Having ears, you do not hear. And you do not remember.'" And then in verse 21, "So he said to them, How is it you do not understand? You see, they should have understood, but they didn't. Now, why is that? Christ gives us a clue here in verse 17, when he says, "Is it because your heart is still hardened?" That's one of the clues. You see, in order to really understand God's word, our heart must be right. We must want to be taught by God. Otherwise, nothing what God will tell us will make any difference to us. It won't accomplish anything. Notice in the book of Luke, the 8th chapter. And let's look at verse 11. And here again, he was telling a parable. It's a famous parable of the sower. And so in Luke 8 and at verse 11, he now starts to explain the meaning of the parable. And he says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. So here, the word of God is being sown to people. And many responded in many different ways. But now, notice verse 15. But the ones that fell on the good ground, so that seed, that word of God, which fell on the good ground, these are those who, having heard the word, but having heard the word alone is not enough. Having heard the word with a noble and good heart, not a hardened heart, but a noble and a good heart, keep it, retain it, and then they bear fruit. They're going to use it with patience. It takes a lot of patience sometimes, a lot of long suffering. But they had a noble and a good heart, a heart which is teachable, which wants to understand, which wants to grow in the knowledge of God, even if it goes against our ideas, even if this means we must change. When our heart is right, we will want to change and correct error. We will want to stop sinning. We will want God to teach us where we are wrong. And God doesn't speak only through his written words. Sometimes, as a matter of fact, many times, he is using his servants to teach us. Now, what does God say about that? Turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 10. And let's look at verse 16. That's where Mr. Ian Willis-Sermonette comes right in. Luke 10 and verse 16. Here, this is Christ's word. Now, I didn't write this in the Bible, but I'm reading it to you. He says, he who hears you, talking to his disciples, the ones whom he ordained to be ministers, he who hears you hears me. And he who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Now we are to listen to God's ministers. We are to follow their teachings if their teachings are in accordance with God's word. Otherwise, according to what we just read, we reject God. It's that simple. Very plain. But how can we know that we are being taught what is right? Simply by comparing it with the written word of God, the Bible. Is it in harmony with Scripture, or is it contrary to Scripture? Now notice, I didn't say, is it in harmony with ideas of men, with nice traditions, with what the Pharisees came up with, perhaps? I said, is it in harmony with God's word? That is all that matters. Now, when Christ taught the people, they were wondering about him. And so they asked him, how can we be sure that we should listen to you? I mean, there were many who came and said, oh, I am the Messiah, I am the Christ, I am the Savior. They said, how can we be sure that we should listen to you? Well, notice this answer in the book of John, chapter 8. And verse 47. John, chapter 8, and verse 47. He says, he who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear, because you are not of God. You see, when we are of God, brethren, when God's Spirit has been given to us, when God's Spirit lives and dwells in us, when God's Spirit leads us, and when we follow the lead of God's Spirit, then we will know, we will recognize, we will accept teachings which come from God. So again, the question is, how noble and how pure is our heart? How close are we to God? How much do we let God's Spirit motivate us to live godly lives, lives that are pleasing to God? You see, Christ repeated basically what he said here a little bit later in John chapter 18. When he talked to Pilate, or when Pilate talked to him, in John 18 and verse 37. Notice again what Christ is telling us here, in John 18 and verse 37. Pilate said to him, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Now everyone who is of the truth hears the voice of God. If we are of the truth, if the God of truth lives in us through his Spirit, we will hear, recognize, understand, and accept and live by God's words of truth. We will follow the word of Christ in everything. Notice Acts chapter 3 and verse 22. Acts chapter 3 and verse 22. "For Moses truly said to the fathers, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren.'" And of course he's talking here about Jesus Christ, the prophet. "Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you." We read in the book of Revelation that those who are called, chosen, and faithful will follow the Lamb wherever the Lamb goes. Now, of course, they can only do that if they obey Christ the Lamb in everything he tells them to do. You see, they can do that because they are very close to Christ. They are in tune with him. They walk with him. They talk with him. They agree with him, knowing that he is in total and in full agreement with God the Father. And as we know, two cannot walk together unless they are in agreement. Now, Christ has decreed that his ministers, his true and sincere and faithful ministers, are to teach his sheep. And the sheep will listen to them. They will not listen to a hireling. They will not listen to a stranger. They will not listen to someone who comes only in to break and to steal. Now notice 1 John chapter 4. And let's look at verse 6. Here's the testimony of John, one of the early apostles. That's what he says. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 6. "We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Again, true ministers, in order to teach God's truth, must be of God. God must have sent them. God must have put them into that position. They must be close to God so that they can teach others God's truth. And at the same time, and by the same token, those who are taught by them will recognize the voice, so to speak, if they themselves are close to God. If they themselves are of God, as 1 John tells us here. The ones who are of God will hear God's sermons. The ones who are not of God will not hear them. You see, after Jesus Christ has founded his church on the day of Pentecost, in the month of June of 31 AD, the church grew. The members were happy. They were doing things together. They were of one mind, of one soul, of one heart. And so, because of that, God was able to call many more to bring them into such a harmonious environment. They had accepted the word of God from the apostles, knowing that they were taught God's truth. Now go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And let's just read verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. Here the Apostle Paul is saying, "For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us," notice this, how did they hear the word of God? Because the apostles taught them. "You welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God." They recognized it to be the word of God because they were of God, you see. And so he goes on to say, "You recognize it as the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." I will talk about that aspect, about, you know, having to believe a little bit more in the remainder of the sermon. But we see here that they accepted the word which was preached to them by the apostles as the word of God. But you see, as time went on, and as frustration was setting in, perhaps because Christ didn't come back as they had thought that he would come back sooner, some, if not many, perhaps most of the brethren, began to lose interest. And so they began to listen to other voices. They were apparently not as close to God anymore as they should have been, because they began to accept teachings which they should have never accepted. Their heart was not as noble and as good anymore as it used to be. And they began to reject Paul and the other true ministers of God. And they began to accept and to burden themselves with teachers whom they should have never listened to. Now notice what happens. Let's go to the book of Galatians with me, please. Galatians chapter 4. Let's start reading in verse 13. Galatians 4, beginning in verse 13. Here Paul reminds them, the church in Galatia, how they had originally received him and how that concept changed. Galatians 4, beginning in verse 13. "You know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first. And my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel or as a messenger of God, even as Christ Jesus. And what then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They..." Now others who claimed to be ministers, "they zealously court you, but for no good. Yet they want to exclude you, that you may be zealous for them." You see, they encouraged the brethren to become exclusivists, so that they would only follow them. Now what had happened? Why that change in attitude? At one time they looked at Paul as an angel, almost like as Christ himself. And now they were treating him as an enemy. Why? Well, you see, Paul hadn't changed. I mean, probably he grew in understanding, he grew in patience, but you see, he hadn't changed his teachings at all. They had begun to allow themselves to harden their hearts again. They wouldn't want to learn anymore. They wouldn't want to listen to God's word anymore to add to their understanding. They wouldn't want to change anymore, thinking they had already reached perfection. Or at the same time, they were looking for other explanations of Scripture, new ones, exciting ones, because they didn't want to accept any longer what Paul had told them, all that old stuff that was boring. They had begun to drift away. Oh yes, they were still attending church, physically, but they had begun to depart spiritually. They were not as close to God anymore as they once had been. Now notice Paul's admonitions in the book of Hebrews and see what happens to some of them and realize that it can happen to us today if we are not careful. Know this, brethren, that it has happened to many of our brethren during the last 10 to 15 years. Let's never think it couldn't happen to us. Remember, the one who thinks that he stands must be careful lest he falls. Notice Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore, Paul is saying, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. We must give the more earnest heed, Paul is saying, to the things which we have learned when we began to come out of this world, when God opened our minds, when he continued to add his knowledge to our lives, while we were all the while rejecting the wrong ideas and concepts which we had grown up with. Otherwise, Paul is saying, if we don't give the more earnest heed to those things we have learned, we too could drift away. Now, Paul doesn't give us those admonitions without a reason. He saw that some were, in fact, drifting away, that some were, in fact, not doing what he told them. The question for us today is, are we willing to listen to Paul and God's words? Notice Hebrews chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. Hebrews chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Now here we have it again. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial, in the wilderness. You see, that was a problem for those who had begun to treat Paul as an enemy. They had begun to harden their hearts. They didn't want to listen anymore to the teachings of God and of Christ. Maybe something was brought to their attention that they didn't want to change in their lives. Maybe some wrong teaching was still with them and they didn't want to give it up. Maybe a new teaching was being revealed to them and they didn't want to accept that. Maybe they became angry because Paul didn't fall for new ideas which they had begun to embrace. Look at Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. Beware, brethren, Paul is saying, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily when it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now you see, they didn't have such a heart at the beginning when God called them. Otherwise they would have never come into the church. When God revealed himself to them initially, they accepted the word with a good and a noble heart, and they began to produce fruits. But now, some were in danger to harden their heart again, to lock Christ out, to not allow him to come in into their lives. See, Christ tells the Laodiceans, I stand outside and knock, and whoever hears my voice and opens his door to me, I will come in and dine with him, and I will give him the wealth of my understanding. But with a hardened heart, that will not be possible. Such a heart does not want Christ to find a place there. It doesn't want to believe anymore that he must live by every word of God and that he must accept whatever Christ tells us. But we just read that Paul warns us not to allow ourselves to develop an evil heart of unbelief. When we get such a heart, we will depart from God. It's only a matter of time. Now, what is it then what we must do to prevent that from happening? Well, in a sense, we have already heard the answer, but let's look at Hebrews 4 and verse 2, because here Paul again emphasizes what happens to the people of old and what should not happen to us. Hebrews 4 and verse 2. It says, "For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard, well, they heard it all right, but it didn't profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it." You see, we must believe God and his words. We must have the faith that whatever we find revealed to us in the Bible is true. That God is true, as we are being told, and every man a liar in comparison. We must never say, "Well, God tells me this and that clearly here in the Bible, but I want to believe Mr. XYZ because he tells me different, and I rather like to listen to him." If we are of God, we will hear and listen to and accept God's words. That's all that matters. And we must have the faith that we can do, that we must do, whatever God tells us to do. But you see, not everyone in the church remained faithful. Not everyone in the church retained and grew in the faith. Many lost their faith. Many lost their willingness to obey God. Many started to compromise. And Christ knew that that would happen. He knew that people would hear him, but that they would not believe him. And so notice what he tells them. Keep your finger here in the book of Hebrews and quickly go with me to the book of John, chapter 12. Verses 47 and 48. John 12, 47. He says, "If anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world." But he doesn't stop here. He goes on to say in the next verse, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The words that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." So they still got to give account for rejecting the word of God, for not believing the word of God. Now let's go back to the book of Hebrews and let's look at chapter 5, because many members in the church who had heard the word of God did not continue listening, did not continue obeying, did not continue believing, and as a consequence were drifting away. Notice Hebrews 5, beginning in verse 9. Here Paul is talking about Jesus Christ. He says, "And having been perfected," Hebrews 5 and verse 9, "he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him." Not just who believe him, but also who obey him, who do everything which Christ tells them to do. And he goes on to say, "called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing." He was talking to members in the church. He says, "You have become dull of hearing." Now, the Living Bible interprets this statement this way. They say, "There is much more I would like to say along those lines, but you don't seem to listen. So it is hard to make you understand." Not everyone will listen. Not everyone will hear. Not everyone will want to hear. Because, you see, if we hear, we may have to change what we are doing or what we are believing, and we may not want to change. We'd rather feel comfortable with what we think we have. Because after all, we are increased with goods and we have need of nothing, right? But Christ tells us that we have to grow in His knowledge. Notice what the Bible tells us if we refuse to do that. Go back with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 28. And let's look at verse 9. Proverbs 28 and verse 9. It says, "One who turns away his ear from hearing the law." I mean, the law is being proclaimed, but somebody just doesn't want to hear it. He turns his ear away from hearing the law. Even his prayer is an abomination, God is saying. Have you sometimes wondered perhaps why God may not answer our prayers? If that's the case, maybe you have an answer right here. Are we becoming dull of hearing? Are we turning away our ear from hearing the law of God? See, God won't accept our prayers. If that's our attitude, if we are turning away from His words. Notice the book of Zechariah chapter 7. Zechariah chapter 7, let's start reading in verse 8. It says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Execute true justice. Show mercy and compassion every one to his brother. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother." Verse 11. But they refused to heed. They shrugged their shoulders and stopped their ears so that they could not hear. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of God had sent by His Spirit, notice, through the former prophets. In other words, He had proclaimed His words through His servants who were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Thus great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it happened that just as He proclaimed, and they would not hear, so they called out, and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts. God tells us that if we stop listening to His word, if we refuse to listen to His words, which reveals to us what sin is, which reveals to us that we must stop sinning and how we can do it, God is saying that if that happens, God will punish us. And we won't be heard by God when we go through our times of trial. Notice the book of Malachi, chapter 2. And let's look at verse 2. Malachi, chapter 2, and verse 2. "If you will not hear, and if you will not take it to heart, to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yet I have cursed them already, because you do not take it to heart." God will curse us if we don't take His words to heart. That's what we are being told. You see, He is saying that we need to be very receptive when it comes to His words. Let's go back to the book of Psalms, chapter 32. Here we find another admonition, another encouragement, but also at the same time another warning as to how we are to treat and as to how we are not to treat God's words. Psalm 32, beginning in verse 8. He says, "I will instruct you, and I will teach you in the way you should go, and I will guide you with my eye." But then he goes on to say, "Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. See, God doesn't want to force or to compel us to listen to Him. He wants us to willingly submit to Him, to gladly, to joyfully approach His words, to see what we still can learn in order to become better persons. And there is so much more to learn by all of us. But again, the attitude got to be right. Notice Jeremiah chapter 13, a warning, I believe, to the end time church. Jeremiah 13, beginning in verse 15. Jeremiah 13, beginning in verse 15. God says, "Hear and give ear. Do not be proud." See, the Laodiceans are very proud. They think they have need of nothing. Christ says, "You don't even know how miserable, how poor, how blind, how naked, how wretched you really are." See, they are too proud to listen. But God is saying here, "Hear and give ear, do not be proud, for the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God before He causes darkness and before your feet stumble on the dark mountains. And while you are looking for light, He turns it into the shadow of death and makes it dense darkness. But if you will not hear it, My soul will weep in secret for your pride. My eyes will weep bitterly and run down with tears because the Lord's flock has been taken captive." See, there's a great tribulation coming. And part of the church will have to go through it. Those who are too proud to listen now will have to go through it. The Lord's flock will be taken captive. God has sent His servants in the past, and He is sending His servants today to teach His people. In the past, though, going to Jeremiah chapter 25, more often than not, the people wouldn't listen. Jeremiah 25, beginning in verse 4. We read, "The Lord has sent to you all His servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them. But you have not listened, nor inclined your ear to hear. They said, 'Repent now, every one of this evil way and his evil doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord has given to you and your fathers forever and ever. Do not go after other gods to serve them and worship them.'" And of course, other gods today could be all kinds of things of materialism. You understand that? "And do not provoke me to anger with the works of your hands, and I will not harm you. Yet you have not listened to me, says the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt." The question is, brethren, are we listening to God today? Are we willing to listen to God today? And as it was the case then, so God is speaking today to His people, in many cases through His servants. Now, how do we listen to God's words, if we are listening? Are we treating God's word as a common thing, as something we don't really need to know about? If we do, God will have no pleasure in us. Note rather what the attitude has to be when it comes to listening to God's word. Go with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 66. And let's start reading verse 1. Isaiah 66, beginning in verse 1. "Thus says the Lord, Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look." See, that's the important thing. Not that somebody was trying to build a house for God, but He says, "This is the one I look on. On him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my words. And then he goes on to say in verse 5, hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his words. But you see, trembling alone is not enough either. And believing and trembling alone is not enough either. Go with me to the book of James chapter 2. Because notice that when it comes to trembling and believing, we are not alone. James 2 and verse 19. James is saying, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. You see, even the demons believe and tremble. Now, it's a different kind of trembling, though, when it comes to the demons. But what James is trying to tell us, if we go back to James chapter 1, beginning at verse 21, is we have to act upon God's word. Let's read James 1, beginning in verse 21. He says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness, not with pride, but with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls, if we act upon it. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, because if we are only hearers, we are deceiving ourselves. James is saying, for if anyone is a hearer of the word, verse 23, and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, he goes away, and immediately he forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. This one is not going to be cursed in what he does. He's going to be blessed in what he does. But what does he do? He is a doer of the work, it says. Notice this. Now you see, the demons don't do any of that. The demons believe and tremble, yes, because they don't want to obey God. They know there's a God, of course. But they don't want to obey him. They don't want to change. You see, we must be different. We must not tremble at God's word for fear of punishment because we want to disobey, but we must tremble in that sense. We must have deep awe and deep respect for the greatness, for the unparalleled wisdom and the knowledge which can be found in God's word. It's a totally different attitude towards the word of God. Notice something in the book of Psalms chapter 12. Notice how great, how unparalleled God's word is. And so we should have deep awe and respect for it, and we should have the willingness to live by every word of God. Not trembling like the demons do because they are afraid of punishment, because they know they're not obedient. Psalm 12 and verse 6. Notice this. Psalm 12 and verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. See, God has been testing and trying his words to make sure they are correct in every instance. Notice Psalm 18 and verse 30. Psalm 18 and verse 30. As for God, we read, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. The margin has here, it is refined. See, it's tested. It has passed the test of time. Go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 30. Let's look at verses 5 and 6. Proverbs, chapter 30, beginning in verse 5. It says, every word of God is pure. The margin has, it's tested, it's refined, it's found pure. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. And now he adds an interesting comment, which Mr. Willis alluded to in his sermonette in a different context. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. Now that's an interesting idea. You see, God has carefully tested or tried every one of His words. Everything which is written down in this Bible, it has been carefully tested, tried, and been approved. And so He warns us not to add anything to it, like the Pharisees did. And then they created undue burdens for the people. God calls them liars. You see, because they represent that what they are teaching is what God wants to be taught. And God said they only preach man-made commandments and traditions. He says, don't add anything to what I'm writing here in my book, because otherwise you are a liar. The flip side of the coin is true as well. Don't delete anything from the book, because you also are going to be a liar that way. Because you are telling people you don't have to do this anymore. Well, God says you have to. So both is correct. Don't add and don't delete. Rather, we must respect God's words, every word of God's. And if we have a meek, a humble, and a teachable heart, we will do so. But if we are too proud to accept God's word, to accept correction from God or His servants, then we will not learn. Then we will not grow in the knowledge of God as to how to become better persons. Now God gives us a stern warning, a frightening warning. And if we are not careful, we may reach the point where we may not be able to hear anymore the word of God. Go with me to the book of Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8, and let's start reading in verse 11. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, and from north to east, and they shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. Now God says that they, notice this carefully, it's not saying you, He says they, the people, those who fall into this category, will suffer from a famine of hearing the words of the Lord, that they will not find the word of the Lord anymore. Now this doesn't necessarily say that the word of the Lord is not going to be taught anymore, but those people will not be able to hear or understand or find it anymore. They will not recognize it anymore as God's word, which is binding on them, which needs to be obeyed. The people, including those who were once in God's church but who have drifted away, will have allowed their minds and their hearts to harden so much that God's word will not find entrance into their lives, into their hearts anymore. Oh yes, they will still wander from sea to sea to find the word of God, confused as they will be, but they won't recognize it anymore. Christ taught the people, but many were unable to listen to His words. Their heart was closed, their heart was hardened, their heart was incapable of accepting the truth. Many were like sheep, scattered, insecure, uncertain, not knowing where to turn. You see, and even those who were, quote-unquote, in the church, when Christ spoke very boldly to them, they decided not to go with Him any longer. They turned away from Him. Because they couldn't take it. They couldn't listen. They couldn't hear to Christ anymore. Christ warns us not to look at His word as a big entertainment, like the people did when they came to Ezekiel to listen to Him. But they didn't want to learn from Him that they had to change their lives for the better. They just wanted to be entertained for a while. They wanted to have a good time in church where they could get cozy and warm feelings for a while. You see, God wants us to listen carefully to His word with the attitude of wanting to learn, And then we must do what we are being taught. Many came to Ezekiel thinking, well, he is a singer. He is singing nice songs to us for a while. But that was not what the ancient Ezekiel was all about. And that is not what the modern Ezekiel is all about either. Now notice Ezekiel chapter 33. I summarized already what the scripture tells us, but let's just read it. Ezekiel 33, beginning in verse 30. And as for you, son of man, God is telling Ezekiel, the children of your people are talking about you besides the walls. Ezekiel 33, 30. And they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people. Talking about church service here. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not do them. And when this comes to pass, and surely it will come, then they will know that a prophet has been among them. They heard the words, but they didn't do them. They didn't think that they had to actually obey what they were being told. In other words, they heard with their ears, but they didn't hear with their minds, with their hearts, with their spirits. It's interesting that both in the passage of Amos 8, which we just read, talking about the famine of the hearing of the word, and in this passage here in Ezekiel 33, the word for hear or hearing in the Hebrew is shamea, S-H-A-M-E-A, shamea. Now I want to quickly turn to a few scriptures to show you how this word is used in other passages. First, let's go with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 13. Proverbs 13 and verse 1. Let me read it first from the authorized version. Proverbs 13 and verse 1, it says, a scoffer does not hear rebuke. Well, there is rebuke, all right, but the scoffer doesn't hear it. The scoffer doesn't pay any attention to it. Now, the New King James Bible has here, a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. The Hebrew word here is shamea, the same word. So the scoffer doesn't hear rebuke. The scoffer hears rebuke with his ears. I mean, he can hear the words, but he doesn't heed the rebuke. He doesn't listen to it in the sense that he wants to change. He doesn't want to do what is right, you see. Let's go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 65. Let's look at verse 12. And you may jot this down. There's a parallel scripture in Isaiah 66 and verse 4. And it says exactly the same, pretty much. I just want to read Isaiah 65 and verse 12. God is giving again a very stern warning. Therefore I will number you for the sword, and you shall all bow down to the slaughter. Because when I called, you did not answer. When I spoke, God still speaks, you did not hear. Shamea in the Hebrew. But you did evil before my eyes, and chose that in which I do not delight. So for the people then, they were already going at that time through a famine of hearing the word of God. But it was their fault. You see, they had allowed their hearts to be hardened so much so that they wouldn't hear or listen to the word of God anymore, that they wouldn't want to repent anymore, that they wouldn't want to obey God's word anymore. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 10 gives us another passage where this word shamea is used. And it tells us exactly the same. Jeremiah 6 and verse 10. It says, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Shamea again in the Hebrew. Indeed, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot give heed. Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them. They have no delight in it. You see, again, God spoke his words through Jeremiah, through other servants, but the people wouldn't hear, since they had uncircumcised ears, as the Bible says. They didn't take any delight in God's words any longer. Jeremiah 7 and verse 13. Jeremiah 7 and verse 13. And now, because you have done all these works, says the Lord, and I spoke to you, rising up early and speaking, but you did not hear. Shamea in the Hebrew. And I called you, but you did not answer. Therefore I will do to the house which is called by my name, in which you trust, and to this place which I gave to you and your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. God did speak from morning to night, it says, but the people didn't hear. There was not a famine of a lack of speaking of the word of God. It was a lack of hearing, of understanding, of abiding by the word of God. Go to Jeremiah 19 and verse 15. Jeremiah 19 and verse 15. Again we read, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring on this city and on all her towns all the doom that I have pronounced against it, because they have stiffened their necks, that they might not hear my words. Again, Shamia in the Hebrew, but it says that they will not hear my words. God spoke his words through his servants, but the people stiffened their necks, so that they wouldn't hear, so that they wouldn't receive God's words. Finally, look at Jeremiah 22 and verse 21. When I say finally, I mean in this context. Jeremiah 22 and verse 21. Again, God is telling us, I spoke to you in your prosperity, but you said, I will not hear. Shamia in the Hebrew. This has been your manner from your youth, that you did not obey my voice. Again, God spoke his words to them, and they heard the words with their ears, but they didn't hear them with their minds, they didn't hear them with their hearts, they refused to accept them as God's words. They refused to obey them. And then calamity struck. And when it struck, they did seek the word of God, they did cry out to God, but God didn't answer. Since they had turned their backs on God, God turned his back on them. God had given them his word, but they had refused to receive it. Now, although the word was still being preached and available, because there was still Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and other servants around, their minds had become alienated from God, so that they did not recognize the truth anymore. And God gave them over to their perverse minds, and he didn't reveal to them the meaning of his words. He didn't show them at that time where his words could be heard and what they meant. As I said, Jeremiah was still preaching, and so was Ezekiel, but most people hated Jeremiah and Ezekiel, and they wanted them dead. So they were experiencing a famine of hearing the word of God. They didn't recognize the word of God anymore. And the same, brethren, will happen again in the end times, only with many more global implications. The word of God will still be preached by God's church. The gospel will still be proclaimed as a witness in all the world, because that is the only sign Jesus Christ gave for his imminent return when that happens. But the people will not hear. They will not give attention to it, including many in God's church who have become dull of hearing. And in their distress, they will seek for God's word and deliverance, but deceived as they will be, they will look for God's word at all the wrong places. And there will be, as we read in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 12, many false prophets. And they will deceive many. Many in the church of God, that is. Because this is what this passage is all about. You and I, brethren, must be different. We must belong to those who tremble at God's word, who want God to teach us, who wants to become like God is. And so let's conclude now with God's encouraging words to us who are willing to listen to him and who are going to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles as a foretaste of a wonderful world to come very soon. So let's turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 51, and we'll meet again next Monday for the Day of Atonement, before we all go our separate ways to the separate feast sites. But now look at Isaiah chapter 51, beginning in verse 1. I'm going to read verse 1 to 8. Isaiah 51, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock. Look to the hole." Verse 2. "Look to Abraham your father, to Sarah who bore you. For I called him alone." Now sometimes we may get all distressed and all discouraged because we are only so few in numbers. Well, he called Abraham alone. There wasn't anybody else around, you see. How many were there when he called Noah? How many were there when he even called David? Not too many. Not too many. He says, "I called Abraham alone and blessed him and I increased him. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in it. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Listen to me, my people, and give ear to me, O my nation, for law will proceed from me, and I will make my justice rest at the light of the peoples. My righteousness is near, my salvation has gone forth, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands will wait upon me, and on my arm they will trust. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look on the earth beneath, for the heavens will vanish away like smoke. The earth will grow old like a garment, and those who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will not be abolished." Verse 7. "Listen to me, you who know righteousness, you people in whose heart is my law. Do not fear the reproach of men, nor be afraid of their insults, for the moth will eat them up like a garment, and the worm will eat them like wool. But my righteousness will be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation."